The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advice offered through Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Welcome to the Financial Focus Radio Show with your hosts, Tyler Simonis and Josh Finelli. Join us as we discuss markets, bring transparency to issues within the financial services industry, and bring honest, thoughtful analysis every week.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Financial Focus Radio. Thank you for joining me. I am going to be solo for the next 2 weeks as Mr. Josh Finelli is probably somewhere on Lake Garda right now with George Clooney, driving around in one of those fancy wooden boats in his Speedo, living his best life. I was just thinking, I haven't the intro is Frank Bonacquisti, who is the morning guy at KBND, and I haven't seen Frank in a long time. I hope Frank is doing well. Those of you that listen to KBND regularly probably could tell me how Frank is doing. I should give him a call and see how good old Frank is doing. As always, if you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call, 877-670-7117, or email us, go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. Tim, you made a funny face. Is Frank still alive, right? Shake your head yes or no, right? Okay, good. All right, let's talk about the week that was in the capital markets. There was actually a lot going on last week, but there are a lot of people on vacation, and we have sort of summer doldrums, and so markets sort of drifted lower last week. U.S. stocks, as measured by the S&P 500, traded down by 1.2%, led lower by the semiconductor names, and we'll talk some more about that here in a second. The market rotation, market broadening continues, and hopefully you have been listening to our show and listening to us talk about diversification and why it's so important. It hasn't been this important since the early 2000s, and so hopefully you've heeded our advice or told your advisor to make sure you're diversified, and you have gotten your portfolio out of strictly U.S. large cap growth stocks, because the rest of the market is doing quite well relative to that asset class. U.S. small cap stocks, as measured by the Russell 2000, traded down by 0.5%, so about half the they're down half as much as the overall market. In the international developed markets, that I think Western Europe and Japan, those stocks also traded down by 1%. Where the sharp sell-off continues after being the leader on a year-to-date basis is in the emerging markets. EM stocks, emerging market stocks, were down 5% and are now actually officially in a correction. As Asian semiconductor stocks really take a hit. I mean, those stocks have been just getting pummeled. Names like Samsung, SK Hynix, TSMC, those stocks have just been getting obliterated as the concerns over the AI spend, if it's going to yield a return and if it can is going to continue out in the future. A lot of these stocks were priced that this was going to go on for years and possibly decades, and now there's some question about that. Nobody's really sure if the stock prices make any sense, and that's why we're seeing some volatility there. In the bond market, we saw yields mostly go a little bit lower, which meant bond prices were higher, and that has a lot to do with the inflation print that we got last week, and we'll talk more about that in a second. The yield on a one-year treasury is 4%, a 10-year treasury yields 4.55%, and a 30-year yields 5.1%. So yields are higher. There's no question about that. The demand by the U.S. Treasury to borrow money is insatiable, and in order for those treasuries to be bought, the yields are going to have to stay high. Josh and I have been talking for a long, long time that you should expect higher yields in the bond market for longer. And the reality is, when I say higher, I mean higher than they were the last 15 years, which was the anomaly. Rates where they are now has sort of normalized. A 30-year treasury at 5% is certainly not abnormal. It's, in fact, on the low end of the yield spectrum if you go back a long time in the bond market. A 30-year yielding only 5% is not a high interest rate. Gold traded down by 2% at $4,024 an ounce. Gold and silver continue to struggle mightily. And then obviously the big news in the commodities market was oil trading up 14% last week to $81.50 a barrel as we get renewed hostilities in Iran. And it doesn't look like that is going away anytime soon. And so that's going to continue to be a force to move oil prices higher. We did get a lot of economic info on the U.S. economy last week, but the biggest news was the June inflation report, both at the consumer and wholesale levels. Consumer inflation, which is the consumer price index, CPI, dropped by 0.4% in the month of June from the prior month and was 3.5% higher on a year-over-year basis. Wholesale inflation, or producer prices, the producer price index, were down 0.3% in the month of June versus the prior month, and we're 5.5% higher on a year-over-year basis. These reports certainly were encouraging, but, you know, obviously they reflect the drop in oil prices, right? We saw a massive drop in oil prices from the month of May to June, and that is almost solely responsible for the drop in the inflation numbers. And obviously since then, we've seen resurgence in the war in Iran, and oil prices are trading higher. And so, you know, that I think was a temporary reprieve in inflation. And the truth is, you know, well, the good news is this allows the Fed to probably do nothing here in a couple of weeks at the end of July, their interest rate policy meeting decision. But Kevin Warsh, who is the new chairman of the Federal Reserve, has made it clear to everybody that he really wants to tame inflation. That's something he wants to make to deal with, because it's been, you know, 5 years of way above average inflation. And so I would expect rate hikes later this year. You know, inflation, it's not going away, and the situation in Iran is not making it better. But, you know, a lot of the polled companies and companies still have to pass about 50% of the tariff costs through to consumers yet. And so that's going to also prove to be somewhat sticky on the inflation front. And so the only way to tame inflation long term is to kill demand. And ultimately, that's what the Fed is most likely going to have to do. Earnings season, we are has kicked off corporate earnings season. The good news there is we are off to an exceptionally strong start. The S&P 500 companies are currently tracking on a 23% year-over-year growth rate in earnings. And remember, last year was a good year for earnings. So, you know, we are really excited about that. That can sort of justify higher stock prices. There's a sort of powerful combination of a massive resurgence in Wall Street deal making. There's tons of deals going on. And then obviously the AI build out. 87% of the companies that have reported so far in the S&P have exceeded earnings. Financials are leading the charge. It's quite interesting. When you look at financial firms, they're up about 30% earnings on a year-over-year basis. JP Morgan was up 22%. Bank of America earnings up 28%. And Citigroup up 45%. All of them comfortably beat expectations. Micron was the big one. They were up 1,300% in earnings, obviously, with what's going on with their chips. And then we're seeing energy is probably going to lead in terms of year-over-year growth, obviously, with the price of oil. Energy earnings are expected to be up about 122%. Next week, we get Google, Tesla, Intel. We also get Microsoft, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon. So big week of earnings set for next week. But, you know, we're on track, for, like I said, for 23% year-over-year earnings growth, which ultimately is the ultimate driver of stock prices. And like I said, it's getting broadening out where the earnings is happening. It's not just in these big hyperscalers. In fact, all the money being spent by the hyperscalers is being spent on all these other businesses like the Caterpillars of the world and these down market caps spectrum businesses that are having a material impact on earnings. And then we're seeing deals happening like crazy, and that's obviously impacting the financials. The housing market nationally continues to struggle. Obviously, this continues to be the least affordable housing market in history, and pending home sales in the month of June were down 5.5%. So that's going to be a while before that market gets better. All right, if you'd like to take one of us up on a free retirement review, one of us will give you an hour of our time to talk about anything in your financial life. So if you have at least $750,000 of investable assets, you can call our office to get one of those free retirement reviews meetings scheduled. The number here is 800-743-0988, or you can always go to our website and send us an email, website's northwestquadrantwealth.com. Let us know you'd like a free retirement review. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the stock market's obviously at all-time highs. What's going to push it to continue more all-time highs? So stick around for that.
Get your free one-hour retirement review. Meet with a Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management Investment Advisor today for free. It's our offer to you as a listener to the show. Give us a call today to schedule your portfolio review. 800-743-0988. Again, 800-743-0988. Connect to the Financial Focus radio show on YouTube or iTunes. Listen to past shows, get our bi-weekly e-news, and keep up to date on the market. You can also sign up for our e-newsletter on our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. Let's get back to the show.
If you would like to sign up for our e-newsletter, Josh and I do a 5 or 6 minute video on the 15th and 30th of every month where we talk about markets and how those markets are affecting your money. You don't have to be a client to get added to the e-newsletter list. If you do want to get added, go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com, send us an email, let us know you'd like to be added to the e-newsletter list, and we will get you added. And that is the only thing that we will send. I guess we'll send you our 4 times a year our quarterly hard copy newsletter via PDF. You get that too. This is pretty funny. Obviously this weekend is the World Cup final. Between Spain and Argentina. So it should be an interesting game. I'm sure, actually, I'm sure it most likely will be a quite boring game because Spain likes to play keep away. That's Spanish soccer, but we shall see. So obviously that's happening this weekend, and I think the U.S. North American World Cup was a success. It seemed like people enjoyed it. The Americans had a pretty good run and then just ran into the buzzsaw that was Belgium. But ESPN did this survey of Americans. 41% of American men under 30 believe they could score on a penalty kick at the World Cup if given the chance. That means against a world-class goalkeeper. Every couch seems to have a world-class striker sitting on it. Let me tell you. So kicking a PK against maybe like a junior high goalie, it'd still be hard for most men under 30 years old. Kicking a penalty kick against a world-class goalie, forget about it. 41% of American men to be young. This is a quote from Morgan Housel, and I wanted to read it. I thought it was pretty good. Morgan says, the best math you can learn is how to calculate the future cost of your current decisions. I think that's pretty astute when you think about what that means. Like, you're making decisions, especially young people, all the time, and there's going to be cost to those decisions, right? When you're buying a car or buying a house or, or you could be making investments, right? Somebody, as Warren Buffett has famously said, somebody is sitting in the shade today because somebody planted a tree 30 years ago. And so when you think about the investment or the decisions you're making today, they're going to have future ramifications. And so young people, the best thing you have on your side is time. Albert Einstein famously said that the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. And so the biggest impact on that is time. And so it doesn't matter how much you start investing with, it's that you start and that you get it automated. And then, yes, as you make more money over time, you increase the amount of money your savings, but you get that money invested in the stock market that is a compounding machine. And it'll be crazy what that can grow to. We have clients that have, portfolios that are worth many millions of dollars, and they never really earned that much money in their working lifetime. They just were astute savers and invested in the stock market the whole time, and their portfolio grew to be quite sizable. Even they're very surprised at the numbers those portfolios grew to. The biggest risk in the short run is being invested when you need the money, right? So we tell people, if you need the money 5 years or less, you can't own stocks with that money because you don't know what's going to happen in a five-year period. But the biggest risk in the long term is not being invested at all. Even the worst 30-year period in the S&P 500, which included the Great Depression and World War II, produced tremendous returns. So the worst three-year period for the S&P 500 from 1928 to 2025 is a 62% decline over a three-year period during the Depression. But the worst 30-year period during that period, you still got a 900% return on the S&P. So, you know, short term, nobody knows what markets are going to do, even though everybody professes to know what they're going to do. In the long term, I know what they're going to do, and everybody should know what they're going to do. And that is follow earnings, and corporate earnings over time will grow, and so will stock prices. And so, you know, every single Thursday, I invest money in my trust account. And every other Friday, I invest in my 401k. And so I'm investing, you know, six times a month in my accounts. And sometimes, like we're going to talk about right now, markets are ripping on the Thursday that I'm supposed to be investing. And then I stop and I think, okay, well, where, you know, the Dow's at 52,000, where's it going to be in a decade or two decades? And then this price I'm worried about right now isn't going to matter. And that's what most of you need to get focused on, is the stock market is a proxy for earnings. Companies in the stock market are going to grow earnings over time, and their stock prices will take care of themselves. If you need money in 5 years or less, just don't have it in stocks, and then you can let your stocks do their thing with the volatility. So let's talk about that. Stock prices have been at or near all-time highs a bunch this year. We've hit a bunch of all-time highs in 2026. That's after hitting a bunch of them in 2025. And so the first thing I'll say is the reality of the stock market being at or near an all-time high is going to be true most of the time, right? Because stocks go up and to the right over time. And so if you don't like buying stocks when they're at or near an all-time high, you're not going to do well in the stock market because, you know, if you think back over time and if you had bought stocks when they reached an all-time high in 2020, you know, you would have done phenomenally well. But at the time, it would have probably not felt all that great. So what can be the catalyst to make stocks continue to move higher from here for all you worry warts? Well, number one, and I talked about this in the last segment, is rising profits. You know, we are seeing earnings growth that has been unprecedented, right? So we're in the middle of second quarter earnings season. We're expected earnings for the S&P 500 companies to grow by a little over 23% on a year-over-year basis, which is unbelievably phenomenal. But that phenomenal, that supports stock prices trading higher, right? If you think about what ultimately makes any business worth more money, it's them growing earnings, whether it's Northwest Quadrant or a car dealership. Any company that earns more money over time is going to be worth more, and that's what's happening in the stock market. Valuations don't seem extraordinarily stretched like they were in the late 90s, where we had companies not earning money that were trading at massive multiples. Stock market's not cheap. I'm not going to kid you, but they're not where they were in the late 90s. The earnings cycle may be younger than we think. So this earnings cycle where we're seeing extraordinary earnings growth, it may have some room to go. The big question, what's happened over the last couple weeks or months, I guess, 2 months, is that are these big companies that are spending all of this money, are they starting to question whether that spending is going to yield some returns? You know, Apple's been the only one that hasn't spent like the other hyperscalers, and their stock now is the biggest company in the world. As these other companies' stocks have sold off, Apple has been quite resilient, is up now 22% year to date because they haven't done all this spending that these other companies have. Another thing is the consumer is in good shape, especially all you baby boomers out there. Your generation is the richest on a relative and absolute basis we've ever seen, and you guys are flush with cash, and you're spending that cash. Get on a plane anywhere to Europe, and it's full of baby boomers. Go to malls, they're full. So the consumer is still spending, even with higher prices. The high end of the curve, the people with the money are still spending, and that is driving earnings. And so the thing I would tell you is, risk management tools, make sure you're properly diversified globally within around the world and then up and down the market cap spectrum. You might think about rebalancing your portfolio if it's gotten too overweight in stocks. And so risk management does matter when stocks are where they are, but doesn't mean investing is some binary all in or out, all out decision. That's never going to be what we would recommend. All right. If you want to be part of the show, you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 877-670-7117. or you can always email us. Go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. When we come back, we're going to tackle some of your emails, so be sure to hang around.
Sign up for our e-news today. Get the latest thoughts on the market every other week from Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management delivered right to your inbox. The short 5 to 6 minute video helps you keep up with the market. You can always watch past videos on YouTube or on northwestquadrantwealth.com. Listening to Financial Focus Radio Show, where you get honest and actionable advice every week from the partners at Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management. Remember, you can always listen to past shows on iTunes or find us on northwestquadrantwealth.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining me on Financial Focus Radio. My name is Tyler Simonis. I'm one of the partners here at Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management. My sidekick on the radio is out the next couple weeks, but I guess all you Josh groupies will have to wait a couple of weeks, and then he will be back with a vengeance, ready to rip. If you want to take one of us up on a free retirement review, one of us will give you an hour of our time to talk about anything in your financial life. If you have at least $750,000 of investable assets, call our office to get one of those meetings scheduled. The number here is 800-743-0988, or email us, go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com, and somebody will get you on our calendar. This falls under the title, we are not growing our way out of it. I think the Republican Party is going to have to let go of this one because, it's just not happening. The idea that we're going to grow our way out of the national debt crisis, is not supported by any numbers by anybody. Real GDP growth has been slowing, really sort of towards 1.5, 1.3%. While the national debt has increased by over $3 trillion in the last year, when the debt is growing faster than the economy by quite a bit, the math keeps getting worse, not better. And remember, we are adding that to the national debt in good times, right? So when you think about a recession, that means tax receipts go way down and the national debt explodes worse than it already is. And so something needs to be done, right? So we are on this collision course with the market doing something if we don't at some point. I don't know when that is. It could be way out in the future. But, you know, this is one of those deals where it won't matter until it does. And when it does, it'll be really painful in that, you know, Lehman Brothers was around, Bear Stearns was around for hundreds of years, where these state institutions that people thought, you know, couldn't go anywhere. And in a matter of 3 days, they were out of business. They went from being running their businesses, everything seemed fine. And 3 days later, their counterparties decided they weren't a good bet to make and they were out of business. And so, you know, the United States is a little bit different than those companies were, but the analogy is similar in that once our trading, once nobody wants to buy our debt, that could become a problem. And so, you know, we need to do something about it. And then this isn't, you know, whether you have a D after your name or an R after your name, no party ever wants to do anything about this. It's right. It's hard to get elected, but somebody's going to have to do something. And my suggestion, and this is stolen from Warren Buffett, is that nobody in Congress can get reelected unless they balance the budget. It's just simple as that. You don't balance the budget, you can't stand for reelection. And these egomaniacs, that would cause them to act, right? We know that would cause them to act. All of these people that fly around in G5s that work in the government, like, come on, they should be flying coach like the rest of us. So this has to be dealt with, and I don't know who's going to deal with it, but one of the things we could do is Congress could pass a law that says you cannot stand for re-election if you don't pass the budget, anybody in government. And I think that would change behavior, right? That generally, if you incent people that way, that would change behavior. Before we tackle some emails, starting in 2025, Most investors here in the U.S. only wanted to own U.S. large cap stocks. And since then, we have seen your international stocks just crush the U.S. So since the beginning of 2025, the U.S. stock market as measured by the S&P is up about 31%. Well, stock markets like South Korea is up 270, Taiwan 115, Greece 100%, Spain 200 or 100%. So on and on, you know, the U.S. is on the bottom of the list in terms of since the U.S. stocks since the 2025. And so the idea is diversification matters. Diversification includes owning stocks outside the United States. And it's mattered quite a bit since the beginning of 2025 when everybody said – that was the point when everybody said diversification was dead. Similar to the famous Fortune article in the early 80s the death of equities right before the U.S. stock market had the greatest bull market in run in its history. So be careful of people saying certain things don't work anymore. That's usually when they really start to work. All right, let's tackle some emails. We got an email. Let's see. I'll just read it. I usually lump sum my investments when I have a big infusion of cash because I know over time markets trade higher. My question is, should I consider dollar cost averaging with a lump sum right now, considering how high the market is? I have 500,000 lump sum to get into the market. Thanks in advance, Jim, T, and Ben. So, Jim, that's a good question, sort of, especially in light of what I just talked about the last segment. Yeah. So, what Jim? So, Jim is saying, you know, he has this $500,000. It's earmarked for the stock market. So, should he just put it all in at once, or put it in over time? That's what dollar cost averaging is. You know, Jim, you know your personality better than I do, and you know, if you make that $500,000 investment and the market drops 20%, is that going to make you think you made a bad decision? You know it's not a bad decision, but is it going to make you think it's a bad decision? I can't answer that for you. It's not a bad decision. It's a good one. If, as long as the time horizon is long enough, you'll be fine. The math says this, that, you know, 78% of all years going back to 1900, the stock market is up in a given year. So the math tells you that to lump sum when you get the money is the right thing to do because over time stocks trade higher. But for a lot of people out there listening, Jim, you might be in this camp. You know, like I said, if you make this lump sum investment and then stocks go down from where you bought them, immediately are you going to think you made a bad decision? I don't think you did, but that's only that's up to you. And so for a lot of people in Jim's situation, it's just to say, okay, I'm going to take you know, divide that number by 10 and just invest $50,000 a month until all of the money gets invested. And that way, if the market goes down, I will get in at lower prices. The one thing I tell people that are dollar cost averaging lump sums is I say, okay, well, so, and this is what we do when we have cash come into our client accounts, we dollar cost average over time. We sort of invest that cash opportunistically when the market gives us an opportunity. So we start to dollar cost average it. When the market has a big drop, so Jim, you could say, okay, I'm going to dollar cost average this money, but if the S&P reaches a 10% decline or 15% decline, then I'm just going to go all in. That's a really good strategy for people that want to sort of take advantage of low prices. Or if the market starts to drop significantly, you can say, I'm going to get more aggressive with my dollar cost average, meaning move the timeline up. And so this is a common question. It's like this psychological thing, but you know, if your time horizon in Jim or anybody out there listening is, you know, 10 years plus with a lump sum investment or with cash investment that you want to get invested in the market, the best thing to do is just put it in there and not think about it again, and you'll be fine over a 10-year period. You know, if your time horizon is short, obviously stocks might not be the right answer. All right, let's ask, what key metric or factor can I use to convince myself, partner, that we are financially set to retire? I'm not personally looking for a milestone, but had a discussion with a few friends this past weekend, and everybody had different milestones they were using to determine if they were financially set to retire. So, Dan, and that comes from Dan here in Ben. Dan, what I would tell you, and this is the funny thing about doing what I do, I'm not going to ever run a financial plan on myself. Like, to me, it doesn't, It doesn't matter what the information says. The only thing that I focus on as it relates to my retirement personally is the number that I have to get to. So some number, and I saw Christine Benz at Morningstar says this is the best bad strategy. But for me, it's the only way that it makes sense is to say, okay, how much money am I going to need on a monthly basis to fund my retirement? Then I can back into a number that I'm going to have to get to, which will, if I take out 4% or less of my portfolio on an annual basis, that's enough income. And so, you know, Dan, that's all I would tell you is like when you get to 65, how much money you're going to need to know your expenses and, you know, make sure you put some fudge room in there and then just say, okay, what's my, if it's 10 grand a month, I need to make sure that my portfolio, if I'm taking 4% or less of it, is big enough to support that. That's it. That's what I focus on solely. When I look at our clients that focus on that, it works the best. The financial plan will give you all these things. To me, that's all nonsense. Just focus on what your expenses are going to be, and how much you're going to, you know, if you're taking from your portfolio, a withdrawal rate of 4% or less. And is that going to get you enough income with some fudge factor in there? And that's all you need. To me, that's it. I mean, the rest is just a whole bunch of noise. All right. If you want to sign up for our e-newsletter, go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. Let us know you'd like to be added to our e-newsletter list. When we come back, we're going to talk about investment grade corporate bonds. So stick around.
Get your free one-hour retirement review. Meet with a Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management Investment Advisor today for free. It's our offer to you as a listener to the show. Give us a call today to schedule your portfolio review. 800-743-0988. Again, 800-743-0988. Thank you for joining Financial Focus Radio Show. Honest, transparent analysis brought to you every week by Tyler Simonis and Josh Finelli. Call the show anytime at 877-670-7117. We'll try to answer your question on the air in the following weeks. Now, back to the team from Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management.
Welcome back to Financial Focus Radio. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate you spending some of your toasty warm weekend with me here on Financial Focus Radio. I get a kick out. I grew up on the East Coast, and I get a kick out of watching the evening news. And the people on the East Coast complain about the smoke. It's like, and I understand that's where those news stations are based. And so for them, it's like, how could this be a thing? But it's like, well, welcome to our world every late August, September, and October. And they don't make such a big deal of it when it's happening out here, but when it happens to them, I think, you know, they think the world revolves around them. And I thought that too until I left that Northeast corridor and realized there's a much bigger world out there. U.S. rents were down 1.2% over the last year. That is the 37th consecutive month with a year-over-year decline in U.S. rents, which is crazy. That's the longest ever. Renting a home is now cheaper than paying a mortgage in all 50 states here in the United States. And so historically, when we've had a long period of rents declining over time, that has led to lower house prices. And so we'll see if this time is true as well. You know, we saw a massive spike in rental prices during COVID, right after COVID, and then have since a massive decline. And this is, like I said, the longest we've ever seen rents decline. And historically, that has led to lower house prices. I tend to think that's what's going to happen. So there's sort of two ways the housing malaise can fix itself. One, we can see a relatively abrupt decline in house prices, where house prices fall by, you know, double digits, 10, 15, 20%, and they become more affordable. or we just see a grind sideways for house prices, where over time earnings in the United States grow and house prices become more affordable. Because there's two factors, right? Prices of houses are too much, and then rates are higher than they were. They're not extraordinarily high, but those two things are leading to the most unaffordable housing market in U.S. history. And so, you know, it's not good. Politically, it's not going over really well. The question everybody seems to be asking right now, and we've seen that play out in the stock market the last couple, 4 weeks, I guess, 5 weeks, and that is, are we in an earnings boom, right? We're seeing expected earnings growth of about 23.5%, 24% in the second quarter and for probably full year 2026. And that comes on a 13% earnings growth for the S&P in 2025 and 10% in 2024. So we've seen a huge acceleration in earnings growth over the last 3 years, which has led to higher stock prices, as it should. But the question that investors are starting to ask themselves, or need to ask themselves, is this increase due to a one-off investment gain? And two, is the capital expenditures that are happening, are they nearing their peak? Meaning, are companies going to say to themselves, or the Microsofts and the Facebooks going to say, the money we are spending on this AI build-out, we can't see a return on that money anytime soon relative to the cash burn that we're making. And so is that going to cause them to put a pause on some of the spending, and then earnings across the board would decline? Because remember, these companies were generating tremendous free cash flow every single month. And now they're not only spending the free cash flow, they're borrowing money and issuing stock to keep the spending going. And that spending has been literally keeping the U.S. economy afloat. But if you take half of that away, a quarter of it away, earnings across the S&P 500 companies decline meaningfully, and then stock prices look very expensive, and that's when we most likely get a correction. All right, let's talk about a part of the bond market, a corner of the bond market that has gotten more interesting as of late because yields have moved higher, and that is investment-grade corporate bonds. So the reason that a lot of investors like bonds in general, whether it be U.S. Treasury bonds, municipal bonds, or corporate bonds, which is what we're going to talk about right now, is because when you buy a bond, let's say from an Amazon or a U.S. government or the state of Oregon, you have a contractual return obligation with the issuer of that bond. So when you buy a stock, right, you're just based on what the stock's going to do over time, and there's no return guarantee that you're going to get from buying that stock. But if you buy, let's say, a five-year bond from Amazon at a 5% coupon, let's call it, and Amazon stays in business over that five-year time period, they are going to give you back your original investment, but also two times a year, they're going to pay you an interest payment on that bond. And so you know the return that you're going to get when you buy that bond. It's a contractual return obligation you're getting from Amazon. And so that's why bonds are less risky. That's why people prefer bonds, is that as long as you're buying a bond issuer that isn't going to go out of business and can pay their interest payments and pay your principal back, that's why, you know, doing your research on the credit quality is so darn important. When I say investment grade, what does that mean? Essentially, that means that if you look at the credit rating agencies, it means triple B rated or higher. When we think of investment grade here at Northwest Quadrant, we really think of single A or higher. And so, you know, because we want to really make sure that these are financially stable companies, they are in our client portfolios, they are true risk reducers. So we need them to be, you know, financially stable and strong and able to do what they say they're going to do. And so, you know, I will tell you, when you look, when this morning I printed off all the different yield at different durations, AAA corporates. So there's not many AAA corporates. Think Johnson & Johnson or Berkshire Hathaway. A three-year AAA corporate on average yields about 4.2, and a five-year yields 4.5. AA corporates, a three-year yields 4.6, and a five-year yields 4.9. And then single A corporate bonds, a three-year yields 4.8, and a five-year yields 5.2. So as you can see, the yields in corporate bonds are higher than you can get with your other safe money like treasuries or in the bank. You know, 5.2% coupon over 5 years, I think a lot of people would take that on the fixed income side of their portfolio. There's two ways really to buy them, and that's in a pooled investment like a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund. Remember though, You have no defined maturity on those, and so you're going to have to deal with interest rate risk. The better way to go out for a lot of you to buy individual corporate bonds and just do the – you have to have a bunch of money, though, so you can spread the diversification. And so I think, you know, that's the best way to go about buying these individual corporate bonds is just to do some research and then pick those companies you feel confident are going to be around. But the yields are quite attractive. You know, remember the big risk in the bond market are two risks. There are credit risk, meaning that the company defaults and can't pay you back, or interest rate risk, meaning the bond prices move lower because yields are higher and you have to sell that bond before the end of the maturity and you will lose money on that. But you know, this is the part of the bond market where, you know, Josh and I were in the very short duration U.S. Treasuries for a long time. We've been able to start go out in duration a little bit with our Treasury portfolio, but also municipal bonds. And then this is the last one we've most recently added, and that is corporate bonds. On the pooled investment side, we use the Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bond ETF. The symbol of that is V as in Victor, CSH. Again, Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bond ETF, VCSH. You know, the yield on that thing is relatively attractive, and the credit quality is quite good. So, and then it's also 3 basis points is the management fee. So that's, in full disclosure, what we're using with client portfolios to get some of that investment-grade corporate bond exposure. All right, if you'd like to take one of us up on a free retirement review, one of us will give you an hour of our time to talk about anything in your financial life. So if you have at least $750,000 of investable assets, call our office to get one of those meetings scheduled. The number here is 800-743-0988, or you can always send us an email. Go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. Let us know you'd like a free retirement review, and somebody will get you on our calendar. So a lot of you own target date funds in your retirement plans at work, so I thought I would give sort of a target date funds 101 in the next segment. So don't go anywhere.
Sign up for our e-news today. Get the latest thoughts on the market every other week from Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management delivered right to your inbox. The short 5 to 6 minute video helps you keep up with the market. You can always watch past videos on northwestquadrantwealth.com.